Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Got a big screen today. Just wait, you'll be here for 2 hours. Actually, it's just written really big. Thanks, Mandy. So the first Sunday of the new year. I wonder what will happen. Could be excitement, could be disaster. I've already had quite some excitement that I didn't need in the new year. Boxing Day, my sister, where I was staying, her whole house was flooded out. We had the SES, that's the one. We had them in front of us and behind us like a convoy getting us out of there. And it was quite interesting but really very stressful. It took me a week to get over it. And my poor sister is going to take a lot longer because she's got a lot of damage. But whatever the new year brings, this morning I want to talk about hope. Now, Rach, a few weeks ago, as part of her sermon, was talking about hope, and I want to go on with that. And I want to read this statement. No, I'm going to read that in a minute. We use the word hope all the time. I bet you do. I hope it's going to be a nice day. Oh, hope I can go to the beach. Oh, hope. And we just use that word over and over, but we use it as a wish. We're wishing it'll be a nice day. We're wishing this or we're wishing that. And I'd like to read you this sentence. It says, hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Its strength is the strength of the person's desire. In other words, it's just how much you're desiring it, you're hoping it, but you don't know if it's going to happen. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength in his faithfulness. It's the expectation of what God has promised and its strength in his faithfulness. Near the end of last year, and even this week, I'm making awful noises. Do I need to move this away a bit? No? Okay. Yeah, I've had people say to me, oh, and it's mostly people my age, I have to admit, oh, I don't know what the world's coming to. Oh, the floods. The fires, the earthquakes, the wars. I don't know, I'm glad I'm going to die. And look, yeah, but it's true. People have been saying this to me, and even this week, it was the first thing my aunt said to me. Oh, the floods, they're terrible. And look, I'm not in any way saying they're not terrible. They are terrible. But people have lost their hope. Ever since COVID, I've seen hope seems to be going down and down and down in people. Our kids don't want to go to school. Not because they're normal kids and don't want to go to school, but there's things happening that they're scared. They go into panic attacks and things. And so I would like to encourage us as I talk about hope, that hope would rise in us, that we would be able to give hope out, the hope of God, that our hope is in Christ. And even when everything looks ghastly and terrible, our hope, I don't know how many times I've said, it's okay, God's in control. I say this to myself so often, it's okay, God is in charge here. And that's what we need to be telling others. God is our hope. He is in control. Hope is never based on our wishful thinking or positive feelings or even how much faith we have. Hope is based on a God who is really there, a God who has left good and sufficient reasons for us to know and trust him. Now, hope is about many things. But first off, it's about a promise. The Bible is so full of promises. I'm sure some of you can tell me how many there are. We won't do every one today. But yeah, I'd be here all day. But God promises to strengthen you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. For I can do, I don't know if it's any bigger there, no. Glad I got my sheet. For this verse I'm reading is written, it's the same verse written in three different ways. And I just loved it when I read it. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Then it says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Then whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. God is our strength. He's our physical strength. He's our spiritual strength. Sometimes the physical comes through the spiritual. But I don't know, I'm sure we all yell out to God regularly, help me, Lord. I know when I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Lord. Please give me strength for this day. Give me your words. Give me your wisdom. We need his strength in everything we do. When we meet people, give me the words to say, Lord. God promises peace. John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. God gives us a peace in our heart. This really came to me in strength just a few days ago. For many, many years when I've talked to God and asked him about something or I've got a problem, he would say to me, trust me. And I know one time I said to him, it's all very well for you to say, trust me, but what am I going to do? Where are the thing? And again he said, trust me. And I thought, I don't like this. But anyway, over the years, he has kept saying to me, trust me. And oh, months ago, I realised I hadn't heard him say that to me in so long. And I realised I'd missed it. I had missed him saying, trust me. Those two words had done something deeply inside me as the time went on. So that I could say, when I heard those words, trust me, I'd say, yeah, I'll trust you. Don't have answers, but I will trust you. So that to me is a really important promise. God promises to take care of all our needs, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. This is Paul speaking to the Christians, the early Christians. And this is true. He doesn't necessarily give us our wants, but he does supply our needs. I can remember so many years ago now when I was in pretty big trouble with no money, and just how God supplied every need I wanted in so many unique ways. And that's never left me. That trust him. He will supply your needs. May not be in the way you expect. It could be way out of field, which it seemed to be to me every time that he gave me something. I kept finding money, which was funny. because I don't normally, but kept finding money. And each time it was a large enough sum that I felt I had to go to the police and give it back. No, and I did. I'd go to the police, I'd give it to them. And however many months it was down the track, they'd ring me and say, look, no one's come for that money, you can have it back. And each of those times was when the need was the greatest. God just kept supplying. I've found very little money since. But he supplies our needs. He promises to answer our prayers. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I know many of you, I've spoken about him before, know that my grandson has big problems. He's autistic but violent with it. And of course I've been praying for him regularly for something to happen, for God to move in some miraculous way. Well, at Christmas, my son gave me a photo album, and in it were photos of the children from that year. And one photo had the most beautiful photo of my grandson with his arms around his sister, and both of them were beaming. He was giving her a bear hug. That to me was a miracle, God answering my prayer, just in a little way. But this boy, he had to be moved out of home at 13 because they were frightened of him hurting his sister. And here was this most beautiful photo. God had begun. I mean, there's so far, it might be my whole lifetime before I see him how I want him to be, but it helped me to bring that hope, that trust. The hope rose in me as I saw those photos and thought, God hasn't finished with this boy yet. God promises to work everything out for our good. I haven't put all the scriptures, written them down, or we will be here all morning. God promises to be with us. We know he'll never leave us. And even when, you know, with promising to work out everything for our good, he does it in funny ways, but he strengthens it through us through it. Because how can our hope be real? How can our trust be real if we haven't lived through it? If we haven't had things happen that we've needed to really grab hold of him, call on him, trust him for everything. He will never, ever leave us. God promises to protect us. And I was thinking about this and I thought, yeah, but we have accidents. Things happen. And then I thought, yeah, but we're not dead. Or if we are, we're in a better place. But yeah, he allows us to get hurt. But again, it helps us to grow through it. If we never had anything awful happen to us, if we never went through anything, we'd think everyone else was just silly. Because why is it happening to them and not me? Or we'd think, oh, poor me. Oh. But God allows many things that we don't like. But he brings us through to greater ability. That's my hope. That by the time I die, he will have refined me. And I see so much yuck in me. But he sees me as he's made me. God promises freedom from sin, and we know he has done that. He died on the cross to take that sin from us, to cleanse us, to make us righteous in his sight, to make us pure. And the last one I have to read, God promises that nothing can separate us from him. Romans 8:38 to 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. You can walk away, but he'll come looking for you. We can run from him sometimes. I have to admit, when I was preparing this, I said to God, I feel more like running than preparing this. I just had that feeling. I thought, I don't want to talk to you. I just this is not coming together. And I thought, well, that's not going to help me, is it? I think I better run to you, be a bit better. And then lastly, God promises everlasting life. And that's our greatest hope. That is our greatest hope. From when God sent the greatest gift of all at Christmas, Jesus, a baby who, absolutely helpless, like we are as a baby, no different, absolutely dependent on his mum and dad, so helpless, and yet this God-man was pure in everything and was willing to give up everything, give his life for us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is our greatest, greatest hope. Then secondly in this, hope is about a person. Now, if I make you a promise and I break it, how many of you, put up your hands if you've ever broken a promise? A few honest ones. None of us, there's a tremendous amount of you that's never broken a promise. I find that amazing. You've got bad memories. Okay. Because people are fallible. We don't mean to break promises. I might promise to pick someone up at a certain time. The next day I remember that I was supposed to go and pick them up. Memory. It's pretty terrible when you do. I've only done it once so far. But, you know, we make promises to our kids and then something happens and we can't keep them. God's not like that. God makes a promise and he keeps it. It might look like he's keeping it, but we have to wait quite often. He says, yes, no, wait. And we have the choice of living in that hope of a promise or being downhearted and despondent. We have the choice in all of this. But even so, without God, our choices, you can forget them. You're not going to be able to keep them. But when you put hope in God, God is much greater than a wish. He's not a wish. He is our hope. He is God, the God of creation, the God of you and I. He is our God and he can't fail. God is not like people who lie. He is not a human who changes his mind. Now, when I wrote that, I mean, got that out of the Bible, I thought, hang on a minute. Who was it he spoke to who got him to change his mind? He changed his mind. Was that Abraham who met with God with Sodom and Gomorrah and all that, and he's saying to God, look, if there's only 10 people, will you destroy everything and destroy these 10 people? And God says, well, no. And then he says, well, what about 5? No. He comes down to one, I think it is, or two. God did change his mind, but it certainly was not for evil, was it? God is never going to change his mind for something that is worse than the promise. God will never change. He does, he speaks, and it is done. In Isaiah it says, I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. Then the important part of this to me is hope changes us in the present, in the now. We don't have to wait and wait and wait and wait. Hope changes us in the present because God is in the present. Jesus is with us. He is our present. He's our past. He's our present. He's our future. And God changes us in the present. And you would think, now, how can hope change me in the present? Well, what we're hoping for is these promises of God. These promises that there is a better future. These promises that God will keep us. There's many things that we may want to do in our lives. And we need that hope to keep us going. I don't know if this is true, but I read an article that said, hope, without hope, well, first it said, without water and food, man can live about 40 days. Without hope, 5 seconds. Now, I think that might be an exaggeration. I don't know. But without hope, we are lost because hope is Christ. Hope empowers us to endure suffering. In times of real crisis, when we're in the real crisis, even the smallest glimpse of hope can infuse a supernatural strength into our circumstances. Just the smallest thing gives us hope. My sister, when her son died, she said she was in that room and she knew her son wasn't a believer. But she said, when I sat there, she said, it was like there was angels present, the peace in that room. She said, it gave me hope. She said, I don't know what has happened. I don't know whether I'll see my son again. She said, but it gave me hope. God was present with me. Hope produces opportunity. When we live in the expectation that positive change is on the way, we open ourselves to a new world of new possibilities. We suddenly have eyes to see what might have gone unnoticed before. Now, I don't know if you have experienced that, but I certainly have many times. It's like with that photo. I might have been given that photo at another time and not been praying, and I might have just thought, what a lovely photo. But it raises hope in us. As we have hope, we see more of God. Have you ever gone out to the lake and just all of a sudden, look, I just love the pelicans. And flying in a flotilla of pelicans, to me, that just makes me think of God. Their majesty, you know, they're so big and so ungainly and they're beautiful. That gives me hope. Seeing God's creation brings hope. And today I want to say, open your eyes to what God is doing around you. In the creation, in people. Rejoice with them in their hope. Give hope to others. That's what we're here for, to give the hope of Christ to others. And sometimes that's not even speaking about Christ to them. Sometimes it's just speaking about hope, helping them to stop being so despondent, but to look into things in a different way. Hope produces joy. I bet your parents with tinies, you wait for Christmas. I'm sure you can all remember back, waiting and so excited, counting off the days and the hours till finally it comes. And when you wake up in the morning, there's all the presents. My son used to hope and was so excited every Christmas day he vomited. Just from the excitement of Christmas. Every Christmas day I knew it had happened at some stage in that day, and it always did. It was all just too much for him, the hope and the excitement. Imagine if we lived like that. Not quite to that extent, but in the hope of Christ, in the hope of God, living that full hope, just living the hope. Hope purifies our hearts. Hope not only has the power to transform lives, it is what transforms lives. When Christ came into the world, hope began its work of restoration. Without Christ, we'd be nothing, would we? Absolutely nothing. Hope began its work of restoration by giving us a glimpse of eternity. And this same hope is still restoring broken lives today. As I said, my encouragement is, let the hope of God, let the hope of Christ rise in us today, that we can go out and give this hope. People are needing hope. Each and every one, from tiny kids up to elderly people. Then finally, hope brings risk. Hope makes you vulnerable, because what if that hope doesn't happen? There's always that risk, isn't it? What if you're hoping and hoping and hoping and trusting God, but what happens when it doesn't seem to work? That's pretty risky, isn't it? And hope does mean taking a risk. It's allowing yourself to be very vulnerable. But to encourage us in that, I want to go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had been arrested and was confined in the courtyards of the king's palace. He told the king, look, the Babylonians are coming. They're going to destroy the city. They're going to raise the land. They're going to take us all captives. You can do this the easy way or the hard way, he tells the king. You can give up and we'll all go into captivity without being heard, or you can fight it. The choice is yours. Well, the king refused to listen. His leaders all said, oh, that Jeremiah, you know, with the prophets, what a load of garbage. And so he was imprisoned. Then God came to him and said, Jeremiah, your uncle's coming tomorrow and he's going to ask you to buy a parcel of land, a piece of land, and I want you to buy it. Now, if we were in the situation that we knew the whole place was going to be destroyed, and someone comes up to you and says, I want you to buy my land, what would you think? You'd think, no way, how stupid do you think I am? If we're going into captivity, I want a bit of silver. I need something. But Jeremiah heard God, and God had said to him, this land will be restored. Crops will grow. People will buy and sell. So Jeremiah, when the uncle comes the next day, he says, all right, I'll buy that land. I'll buy it. and he buys it and he gets the legal contracts. And then he said to someone in the Bible, he says to them, now put these contracts, these legal contracts, into a clay jar that's going to last for a long, long time. A long time. I don't know how long, I can't remember how long they were in captivity. 70 years? Right, thanks. 70 years, okay. So Jeremiah must be a pretty old man by then. But as God said, they went back and it was rebuilt. He was buying and selling. Jeremiah was willing to take that risk of God, and go out. And God might be calling any one of us to great risks today. The younger ones, God might call you to be a missionary. Who knows? He might call you to be a missionary here in Australia, and that would be even harder, I think, because we've got apathy, whereas the other countries have just got unbelief. And it's a lot easier to talk about God to someone who doesn't believe than it is to someone who is apathetic and couldn't care two hoots. God could call us to anything. He might call us to ministry in this church. He might call you to ministry in another church. He might say, I want you to start something. So if we ask God to use us in any way, that's asking and having a hope that he will answer our prayer. It's also taking a large risk. A huge risk. I want to read this last thing that I wrote. It says, hope is not lost. We can have a profound hope deeply living in us. And hopefully we can share this hope with others. We cannot change the world, but we can have hope. Hope in a living God. Hope in Christ. Hope in the promises of God that he will do what he has said he will do. Hope. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Our God is hope. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each one of us today that you would raise hope in us, that you would engender the hope, that you would inspire us to ask you for things that seem impossible, and that you would grow that hope in us. Lord, that people would come to each one of us and say, why are you smiling? Why do you have such exuberance and hope? Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would use each one of us in this church building this morning to give hope, the hope of Christ, to others. We pray this in Jesus' precious name.